Welcome to Technology and the Arts, a bi-weekly podcast exploring the connections between the worlds of technology and art. In this installment, we'll share some interesting news, websites, and online resources we've come across recently, including Songbird and the music recommendation service Muffin. Plus, we'll discuss Reverb Nation's on-ramp to music download services for bands and musicians, as well as music download service and online music player, Lala.com. We'll talk about all this and more just ahead on Technology and the Arts for Wednesday, October 22nd, 2008. Now here are your hosts, Brian Kelly and John Lemazny.
Thank you for joining us on another edition of the Technology and the Arts podcast. As always, Technology and the Arts seeks to explore the connections between technology and art and to establish a forum for discussing the impact technology has made on the human creative process and on literature, music, and the visual and interactive arts.
And to let you know who we are, my name is Brian Kelly. I'm a journalist by trade, amateur songwriter, musician, and science and technology enthusiast living in central New Jersey.
And my name is John Lemazny. I'm a husband, father, artist, designer, student, manager, musician, poet, speaker, consultant, technologist, beer sommelier, and open source evangelist living and working in New Jersey.
John and I are recording this podcast via call recorder for Skype. Because of timing issues, this podcast is basically going to be recorded live, maybe a bit of editing here and there, but for the most part, unfiltered. I know that's a bit scary, especially for me, but we're going to try it. So, John, it's good to talk to you again. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, Brian. How about yourself?
I'm doing excellent. What have you been up to lately?
Well, as we talked about on the last podcast, recently had my car stolen in Philadelphia. It's not any longer known as the city of brotherly love for me. It's more the place where my car got stolen. And I'm still kind of upset about that, but, you know, as each day goes by, we grow.
Yeah, I'm just really disheartened that that happened to you, but
yeah, me too. But you know, it teaches us to be careful, I guess. It also actually allows me to talk with my wife about what kind of car we want moving forward. And we, believe it or not, we're probably going to get exactly the same car, except we'll probably purchase it used, and we'll get some upgrades on some of the features. But it's almost like, you know, starting over again. So.
Right.
You know, if it has to be a cloud, at least there can be possibly a silver lining to it.
Right,
right now, I'm taking a couple of classes for my graduate classes for organizational leadership at Rider University, and I just wanted to say how much I've fallen in love with the idea of research and found some really fantastic articles that talk about predictability of technology adoption and the things that it's doing for me as far as sort of thinking about how to get people to use technology. I mean, in a way, that's what we're doing with this podcast, right? And it's the reason that I go out and I talk for free very often to groups of people. And it's the reason that I go to work every day. It's to get people to use technology. And little did I know that there are theories and models that you can apply to a situation where a certain group of people is going to use or not use a particular set of technologies. And by using these models and theories, you can potentially increase the likelihood that they'll adopt those technologies. And I just think it's a fascinating idea, and it really has excited me about thinking about the way that I approach training and approach getting people to try out what I think is some of the most amazing stuff in the world, that is software. I wanted to give a shout out to Orlando, Florida, where I will be going for EduCause next week. And so I'm really excited about that. Never been to Florida. Never been in the state at all. I've never been to Walt Disney World or anything like it. And I'm really excited about taking a trip to that part of America. How about you, Brian?
Well, just to let you know that if you hear any screaming in the background or silent clapping by me, it's because the Phillies are playing in the World Series right now.
Oh, yeah.
Game one. And Chase Utley just hit a two-run home run in the first inning.
So, I completely forgot. And congratulations to you and your Phillies.
Well, again, I didn't really do much, but congrats to them.
Brian, you did plenty.
Unbelievable job getting the World Series this year. And, yeah, so Phillies up 2-0 in the top of the first inning here as the World Series for 2008 commences. But anyway, super busy at work lately. We just had our annual networking party on October 17th, and then the next day...
Is that the same thing as a LAN party?
No.
Are you sure?
Business networking.
Oh, I see.
Come on, we're going for minimal edits here. Don't start going off the script. Anyway, the next day we had our big conference and expo. That was October 18th, and the next day after that... I moved in with Allison, my girlfriend, so it was pretty much nonstop for me all weekend. And but that meant I needed to get an internet connection at her place, and the wireless router I purchased isn't cooperating with Allison's DSL provider. I have it working so that I can get on wirelessly with my MacBook, but her wired PC isn't connecting, so I still have to work on that. Finally, I just want to plug a few of shows by my friend Christian Beach that are coming up. He'll be performing at Triumph Brew Pub in Princeton, New Jersey on October 23rd, and possibly at Triumph in Philly on October 29th. However, they canceled the show scheduled for tonight, October 22nd, because of the Phillies being in the World Series. So I'm sure if there's a Game 6 on the 29th, they'll cancel that night's performances as well. But after that, Christian will be at Rockaway Town Square in Rockaway, New Jersey on November 22nd and at Fergie's Pub in Philadelphia on December 12th. For more information, check out www.myspace.com/Christian Beach and look for his CD coming soon. And I know I said finally before, but one more thing. If you haven't checked out Life on Mars on ABC on Thursday nights, I encourage you to do so. I love the original Life on Mars starring John Sim that was produced by the BBC, whereas the BBC version features a present-day cop time-shifted back to 1973 Manchester after being hit by a car while David Bowie's Life on Mars was playing on his iPod. The American version takes place in 1973 New York City, and it's surprisingly very good. It's been relatively faithful to the original show, maybe too faithful at times, but having Harvey Keitel and The Sopranos Michael Imperioli in the cast is a huge plus. So check out Life on Mars Thursday nights on ABC. But now, John, is there anything related to technology and the arts you would like to discuss this week?
There sure is. One of the most exciting things, and we've talked about it on our show, is the advent of the T-Mobile HTC device called the G1, which uses Google's Android software as a base, and mine is in the mail on its way.
Excellent.
To my door. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. It was a heavy chunk of change, making the plastic on my credit card, you know, waver a little bit, but I imagine it will be well worth it. I've been looking at YouTube all day long, just looking at different videos of demonstrations of various features, and I've been playing with the emulator a lot. So although I feel like I'm familiar with the device, very familiar with the device, I'm very excited to finally get my hands on it and start to use the unlimited text and data services on the G1. I just wanted to give a shout out to some shows that I think are doing a great job right now. First of all, The Shield in its final season is just an amazing thing to watch. I'm also enjoying Mad Men, ER in its final season as well, and killed off a major character. I won't tell you who, but it was quite a surprise and a little bit disappointing because I really enjoyed that character's work. Dexter, I just started to get into on Showtime. Although I don't have Showtime, I actually have been doing a little bit of peer-to-peer networking. Yeah, but you know, honestly, I'm not going to purchase Showtime just for the purposes of watching Dexter. Actually, Dexter is available to me because of Netflix. I can watch it on Netflix basically at any time.
Right.
So, you know. I just happened to be using this other method for getting it. But, you know, in case anybody's listening, I would have had the ability to watch it anyway through Netflix legitimately. And same for Weeds. Weeds, I think I just finished watching season 4, and just a really interesting show and a very interesting point of view. I wanted to talk about some volunteer work that I'm doing. First of all, I am the chair for the Ewing Website Committee. That is Ewing, New Jersey, the municipality just outside of Trenton and down the street from Princeton. And I volunteered to the mayor to head up a committee to redesign the website, and we have begun testing on the new site, which is based in WordPress, which is incidentally the same engine that we use for our Technology in the Arts website. We have been having a very heated discussion of late about whether or not to allow comments on the site, and I've been pushing really hard to allow for comments to be allowed, and it does not look like that's going to happen, despite the fact that it's a municipality and that the general populace might want to have great conversations about municipal issues. The concern of the powers that be in the committee, and despite the fact that I chair the committee, I certainly don't force anybody to do anything. The idea is that it will become not only a nuisance, but potentially a legality issue, where if somebody was to post incorrect information about a Ewing municipality service, such as, I don't know, trash pickup, that somebody might do something with that data, you know, such as put out their trash on the wrong night and somehow get so upset that a lawsuit would occur. I personally don't buy it, but, you know, this is the argument that I'm getting. And like I said, I don't force anybody to do anything despite being chair. I can only suggest and try and lead. And in that particular case, I was disappointed. But there is a WordPress site that we are using for the Ewing website. And I'm very excited about the other aspects besides commentary. Incidentally, we put up all of the documentation that was available on the old website, but pretty fairly well hidden, on scribed.com. And so I'm very excited about the fact that we can now embed our documents without having to have Bird installed in the hands of viewers. Although most people probably have Word installed, it's nice that they can just use their Flash install on their browser just to immediately start to look at documents like budgetary information. I am also volunteering for a robotics group in Ewing Township. They are Team 2016, also known as the Mighty Monkey Wrenches. They are a associative group between the School for the Deaf in Ewing Township and Ewing High School. And all of these kids are doing a great job in developing a website. I'm mentoring the web team, the marketing team, and guess what we're using?
Using
WordPress, yeah. So I'm very excited about some of the work that I'm doing right now in using open source technology in order to get the word out on websites, and just great functionality coming. From WordPress and being used by both young and old users. Incidentally, though, one of the things that I'm doing with WordPress is that I am using the power of Picasa Web Albums in order to provide photography storage for both the Ewing website and for Team 2016. And the issue is, though, that if I was the sole manager of media for both of those groups, there is a little bit of a conflict that occurs when I shift from editing media for one group versus another. And so, for example, as anybody who listens to the podcast knows, I really like craft beer. And I very often will take photos of craft beer as I'm reviewing it, and I will use Picasa Web Albums in order to publish those photos. So immediately there was a conflict of interest when I was working for Team 2016, a site for teenagers, basically, in using my Picasso Web Albums account in order to publish their photos. You wouldn't want to see the name Lemazni associated with Team 2016 as a representative name anyway, but you certainly wouldn't want to be able to see both pictures of robotics and teenagers working on that and craft beer in the same series of photos. It's not a good idea for lots of reasons. The issue is Picasso doesn't make it especially easy to shift between users. And so what I have to do is log out as one user and then log in as the other user and then be very careful not to synchronize the wrong photos for the wrong user. What it means essentially is that I have to be careful when I'm publishing photos for one user versus another. And I'm not always as careful as I need to be. And so I just wanted to sort of put that note out there that Picasso Web Albums is a fantastic way to manage media. I wish it was a little bit easier to navigate between users. And another application we've talked about quite a few times on the podcast, Songbird, is a Mozilla Firefox-based music browser. It's sort of like iTunes in the sense that you can manage your media, but also sort of like Mozilla in the sense that it, or Firefox in the sense that you can browse in much the same way that you would with Mozilla Firefox. Really powerful interface and growing more powerful all the time. I recently downloaded the latest beta and just am consistently blown away with the things that they're doing as far as automatic album cover download and automatic lyric finding and showing and automatic Wikipedia showing of the song that I'm listening to. Integration with Last.fm. So on my friend feed account, it shows any thing that I have marked as something I love on Last.fm, and using Songbird, I can be listening to a song, indicate to Last.fm that I love it, and it will automatically show up on FriendFeed. Yet another way that I'm using FriendFeed to just show the world what I'm doing at any given time. So lots of stuff going on. I really appreciate the opportunity to tell you all about it. And how about you, Brian?
Well, first I want to talk about Muffin. It's a Berlin-based music recommendation service currently in private beta. Now, like you mentioned, Last.fm and Pandora have been using music recommendation for a while now. And iTunes and Zune recently jumped on the music recommendation bandwagon. But Muffin seems to approach it a little differently. It uses audio scanning, I guess you could call it, of songs. And it categorizes them via density, tempo, and rhythm. And basically the premise is, if you like the way a song sounds, you'll like similar songs. Like I said, it's currently in beta, but if you're interested in finding out more about Muffin, you can click on the link in the show notes. In a recent podcast, I talked about a service called TuneCore that allows nearly everybody to put their music on iTunes, as well as Amazon, eMusic, and other download services for a year, or in the neighborhood of $30, $40. Now Reverb Nation, a self-described marketing and promotion platform for more than 250,000 musicians, labels, managers, and venues, has rolled out a low-cost, quote-unquote, on-ramp for musicians and bands to get their music on download sites. The Reverb Nation press release goes on to say, the service allows any artist to submit their music for sale on iTunes worldwide, Amazon, Rhapsody, Napster, and eMusic for a flat fee of $34.95. Coupled with Reverb Nation's highly acclaimed marketing and promotional tools like FanReach, a free email for musicians, widgets, and social network applications, the service will allow artists from all walks of life to sell their music and give them the tools they need to drive sales and grow their revenues from their fan base. If you want to read the press release, click on the link in the show notes for that as well. And finally, there is Lala.com. This music site has gone through at least a couple of other less than successful incarnations over the years, but what it has become now appears to be pretty cool. It's an ad-free online music player and service that has secured deals with all four major labels and about 175,000 independent artists. You can buy DRM-free MP3 downloads from the site for about 90 cents or you can purchase 10-cent web songs that you can access unlimitedly. I don't even know if that's a word, but unlimited.
Yes, no.
You can purchase 10-cent web songs and play them unlimited number of times on your Lala player, the online player. You get 50 free credits when you sign up for Lala, and you are able to listen to each track in its vast catalog once before being forced to pay for a web song or a full MP3 download. But if you buy a web song at 10 cents and later decide to buy the MP3 of the same track, the 10 cents goes towards the full MP3 purchase, so that's kind of cool. Also, the Lala Music Mover, which works on Mac and PC, will match the songs in your iTunes library and give you unlimited access to those songs, even if you downloaded some of them for free through peer-to-peer services. Lala apparently convinced the labels that people were not going to pay for something they already had. So even if you got something off of, you know, LimeWire or Morpheus or Napster back in the day, if it's in your music library right now and they have a match for it, it'll be in your Lala player and you can play it as many times as you want. And the coolest thing is that it actually uploads songs from your computer to your Lala player. It didn't look like, looks like DRM tracks are neither matched nor uploaded. And there's some MP3s that I have that apparently aren't formatted correctly for Lala, but some of my songs are now on my Lala player online, even though they're not available anywhere except on my computer. But they were uploaded to the site. And so now I have practically an identical music library to what I have on my MacBook online. So it's available to me anywhere, even if I don't have my MacBook with me. That's kind of a cool thing. So if you want to read more about Lala, read the Washington Post story I have linked to in the show notes. But now it's time for the Technology and the Arts events calendar. Here is your Technology and the Arts events calendar. An exhibition titled Just In, Recent Acquisitions from the Collection, takes place at the Museum of Modern Art in New York City now through October 27, 2008. This installation draws from acquisitions made over the past 2 years by the Department of Architecture and Design, many on display for the first time. The selection represents the diversity found in contemporary design practice, with a focus on the latest innovations in architectural, industrial, and graphic design. For more information, visit www.moma.org. The Princeton University Art Museum offers a pair of exhibits running now through January 4, 2009. Jasper John's Light Bulb, organized by the Museum of Contemporary Art in San Diego, focuses on Jasper John's first sculpture, Light Bulb 1, and brings together for the first time the artist's light bulb sculptures and related drawings and prints, including several from the artist's collection that have never before been exhibited. Also at the Princeton Art Museum is Frank Gehry, Online, an exhibit celebrating the inauguration of Princeton University's Peter B. Lewis Science Library, designed by Gehry Partners, LLP, and featuring 31 original drawings by the renowned architect and several models for his buildings. The exhibit represents a wide array of projects culled from the past 2 decades. For more information about the Jasper Johns and Frank Gehry exhibits, visit www.princetonartmuseum.org. The Experience Music Project and Science Fiction Museum and Hall of Fame in Seattle, Washington, presents Robots, a designer's collection of miniature mechanical marvels, and due to its overwhelming popularity, Robots has been extended and now runs through May 3, 2009. This exhibition celebrates the long fascination with humankind's technological version of itself, inspired by antique tin and wooden toys, samurai warriors, and mid-20th century Japanese film characters. These intricately detailed and beautifully designed miniatures are set against the venue's backdrop of life-size robots, androids, and cyborgs from the world of science fiction film and television. For more information, visit www.epmsfm.org. To stay informed about events related to technology and the arts, please remember to check out the Technology and the Arts events page at techarts.wordpress.com. Well, it looks like we are just about at the end of another Technology in the Arts podcast. John, is there anything you'd like to share with our listeners at this time?
Well, as always, I'd like to say to our listeners that if they have an idea for a story or know about a show or event related to technology and or arts, let us know about it by emailing us at technology.arts@gmail.com. Also, feel free to send an email just to say hi. You're always welcome to leave a comment on the Technology in the Arts blog at techarts.wordpress.com.
Well, that closes the curtain on another Technology in the Arts podcast. Stay tuned for our next show on Wednesday, November 5th, 2008. Now, that's the day after Election Day, so I want to take this opportunity to remind everybody to get out and vote on November 4th.
Get out and vote!
Yes. Until then, for Technology in the Arts, this is Brian Kelly.
And this is John Lemazny. Take care and vote.
The views expressed by the hosts of Technology and the Arts are not necessarily those of guests of the program. Conversely, thoughts and opinions expressed by guests of Technology and the Arts are not necessarily shared by the hosts. For more information about the podcast you have just heard, please visit Technology and the Arts on the web at techarts.wordpress.com.